Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Are you getting the truth regarding the COVID shots? We're going to be talking to an expert here on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we are very pleased to have Dr. Mike Yeadon. He has a degree in biochemistry and toxicology, a PhD in respiratory pharmacology. He's worked for 32 years in the pharmaceutical industry, including he was vice president for respiratory research and development at Pfizer and former chief scientist at Pfizer. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Yeadon.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to speaking to you.
You also co-founded another company.
A biotech, didn't you?
That is a company that ultimately you sold, co-founder of that. You have been very much involved, obviously, in the pharmacology issue. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it is that you came to address these kinds of issues with the current COVID shots.
Yeah, you actually almost did like an about face in your career. So this is really interesting.
Okay, well, I didn't really see it like that, but let's just see. I know a lot of people think I'm whatever, down on the industry I used to work for. So you're right. I have a degree in biochemistry and toxicology. So I started trying to understand how things work, why they sometimes don't, how to fix them. And I've used those skills in developing with others what we would call drug discovery programs, trying to find new ways to treat existing diseases, and also when there are side effects or problems with environmental poisons, it would be trying to work out again what's the mechanism whereby a drug is bringing about effects on this occasion untoward. So that's been very helpful in the recent work I've been doing in the last year. So I'm a tinkerer. I try and understand complex systems. And I was told by previous supervisors that if I had one special skill, it was an ability to spot faint patterns in sparse data. So when there's not much information, I will look and think and think, and I will often be able to make something out in the gloom before my colleagues did, and I have done that repeatedly. And I think that's what I've also done in the COVID thing, and explains why I spotted it and lots of my colleagues didn't. So yes, I had a very enjoyable and moderately successful career in big pharma. And I'm going to criticize companies, including Pfizer, so I want it on record that I had a wonderful time at Pfizer. I loved working there in research, great colleagues, good budget, great facilities. And I left 10 years ago on excellent terms. And as you pointed out, the fact that I was on good terms is proven by the fact they were willing to let me acquire a compound that I had been involved in inventing that they no longer wanted. They were shrinking their research footprint and moving out of the UK. So I can assure you, you have to be on good terms with your former employer to be able to do a business deal like that. But yes, I used that compound to start a new company, this time in dermatology, and we were able to raise capital. I raised nearly $50 million of venture finance. We built a team, conducted a clinical trial. We had really striking results in atopic dermatitis, and the entire company was acquired by Novartis of Switzerland. So that's my career. And then also partly in the last 10 years after leaving Pfizer, I've been a consultant, a sort of an expert startup guide to 30 biotech companies, mostly in the US, two of which are now quoted on NASDAQ. So I think I've been trusted with scientific concepts and judgments and making decisions. So I was very fortunate when we sold my biotech to Novartis to retire early. So I was doing a little bit of light consulting, but really my career was behind me and I was looking forward to spending more time with family and hobbies. And then what happened was in early 2020, we heard about this virus coming out of Southeast Asia. And then eventually in my country, United Kingdom, we got to a point in March where the Prime Minister said, and now I'm going to ask you all to stay at home. And my mind was racing because I know enough about transmission of infectious diseases to realized really at the outset, I thought this is literally an absurd thing. You're hiding from a respiratory virus. But nevertheless, that's what we did. I would say by the summertime, about this time last year, I'd become deeply worried because one of the what I call seven or eight lies that we're being told was being told in the UK, and it was that the polymerase chain reaction or PCR test was a reliable measure of whether or not you're infected. I knew it wasn't. I knew a bit about the inventor, Carrie Mullis, and I knew that under the conditions of use, the test was absolutely meaningless. And yet there were scientific advisors to my government, some of whom I know, I mean, absurdly, the chief scientist of the UK government, I actually worked with Sir Patrick Vallance 30 years ago when he was a young postdoc. And there he is on the television telling lies. So I found that striking. I followed the trail of breadcrumbs, shall we say, through the year. And I discovered it wasn't just that the PCR test was misleading and always amplified the number of cases. The bottom line of all of these lies is to make you more fearful. They've told you repeatedly that this virus is much more dangerous than it actually is, and the situation is more hopeless than it actually is. So it wasn't just wrong statements about the PCR test, but gradually through the year, I realized with a shock, it's literally absolutely every one of the main narrative points, the things that you think you know because you've been told it, every one of those things is A, incorrect, and B, has been enunciated to us by people who I know understand it's not true. So I'm afraid that's not a mistake. It's not a difference of view. It's not a difference of perspective. It's actually lying. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I put this to your listeners. When I go through these, you can judge for yourself whether I've convinced you they're not true. But I'm going to point out to you that all the main narrative points that we are told differ from any precautions we would have taken prior to 2020. That's one thing you should know. So we all discounted threw away our pandemic preparedness plans that every country had and went for these seven or eight ridiculous things. But here's the thing that convinced me and frightened me, and it does to this day. All the countries adopted the same seven or eight lies and the same phrases at the same time, whether it's Germany, Italy, UK, Ireland, UK, United States, everyone suddenly flipped to what I regard as absurd measures and statements, and they all did it at the same time, and they're none of them correct. And one, if you're a scientist, you know they're not correct. It's not a difference of opinion. So I'm sorry to frighten people, and often people are inclined to dismiss anything if it sounds like a conspiracy. I'm just going to be blunt with you guys. There is a conspiracy, and I've just told you that's the strongest piece of evidence for it. There's nothing theoretical about it. That's the point, you know. So am I a conspiracy theorist? No, I've never thought of anything like that in the past. I'm a normal, boring, middle-class guy, you know, with a whatever, you know, wife and two children. I wash my car at the weekend and I mow my lawn and I read the papers and I listen to the national broadcasters and nod. That's what I've done. I've been shaken out of this position by utter absurd anti-scientific lies. And I never could bear unfairness, injustices, and I'm seeing all of this happening, and I'm afraid it's getting darker.
And of course, what you're saying, we've experienced the same thing here in America every day.
Yeah, it's all over the world. Well, our guest is Dr. Mike Yeadon, and he is an expert in pharmacology. We are interviewing him from the southeastern part of the United Kingdom. And he is an individual that we're going to go through this week and talk about various aspects and unpack what you just said, because there's so much in there. We wish we had an hour program for each one of these, but we're going to come back and visit that. And some of the things you're going to talk about in these upcoming episodes are the various kinds of deceit, and you began to touch on that. How do you protect yourself? What should you do? And then what is the call to action? How can people ultimately respond to this issue? We have so many questions to talk with our special guest, Dr. Mike Yeadon. We're very privileged to have him on the phone. Former Vice President of Respiratory and R&D research at Pfizer, former chief scientist and vice president in that particular area. You're not going to want to miss these further interviews here on Faith and Freedom. For more information, go to lc.org/vaccine for more information and how to reach Dr. Mike Eden.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation.
There's a lot of misinformation around the world, certainly here in the United States, with regards to COVID. What is it? And what about these shots? How do you address these issues? We're going to unpack this on Faith and Freedom with our very special guest, Dr. Mike Eden, former chief scientist and vice president for respiratory research and development at Pfizer, and also very experienced in the whole pharmacology issue. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Joining me is Holly Mead. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Eden.
Nice to be back again. Thank you for having me.
What you talked about in the last program about the worldwide deceit is just astounding to see that what you're experiencing in the UK is the same thing we're experiencing here in America.
What is it that you're seeing?
Let me just step you through it. So when we were first told about this new virus, coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, we were told, and I'm just going to go through some of the things, they're not true. First, we were told this is a new virus. Yep, that's true. But they gave us to understand it was unusually lethal. People were falling on their face in the street in Wuhan, remember? So unusually lethal. They said, because it's a new virus, no one will have any immunity, so we're all susceptible. Now, I'm afraid that's not true. Although it's a new virus, it's actually 80% similar to a virus that's been around before called SARS, 17, 18 years ago, and about 40, 50% similar to common cold causing coronaviruses. So, of course, loads of people had immunity, and it's nothing like as lethal as they say. Dr. John Ioannidis of Stanford, probably the most famous epidemiologist working in the world today, has concluded that the infection fatality ratio, how lethal this is slightly worse than the typical seasonal influenza. Much worse if you're older, but actually less serious if you're younger than is influenza. So initially we were frightened to death, and that's all factually incorrect. And the notable one I would say is it's much less lethal than we were told. And really importantly, almost half the people had prior immunity. We're absolutely certain about this. There are more than a dozen peer-reviewed journal articles. So they ramped up the fear straight away. But then they said lots of other things that are not true. Another one I would say, a main one, and this has really cost lives. So this is criminal activity. We were told there were no treatment. So you had to stay away from the virus and wait for the vaccine. No treatments, I'm afraid that's not correct. I won't name them all, but there are some fantastic physicians who wouldn't accept what would be called treatment nihilism. They said, we're going to try and treat people symptomatically at home before hospital. And we've got drugs that such as hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, ivermectin, budesonide, and there are several others. But if you go to the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons website, you will see a fantastic treatment guide. And so it does two things. One, it arms you with what you need to stay safe from this virus. And two, it confirms what I've just told you, that everyone's governments around the world lied all at the same time, pretending there were no treatments, where in fact, these drugs taken together will produce cure in excess of 90% of cases. So our governments, by lying to us, not only have deprived us of our liberty for over a year, but I think 90% of the people who've died with COVID could have been saved. So that's an appalling state of affairs.
Wow.
Dr. Eden, that is something that I know I've talked to a lot of doctors who treat COVID patients, and they see the actual efficacy of those drugs that you just mentioned. And I have many personal friends who were not able to get those from some of the doctors because of the misinformation that came out from journals like The Lancet and others that they had to ultimately retract. And it is criminal because by giving that misinformation, people have needlessly died. And I've never seen this in any other area.
The thing about this is that it doesn't matter what people say about me. I have no history of, shall we say, conspiracy theories. In fact, I have no history whatsoever of public statements at all, except in my area of professional work. Other than that, I've never campaigned for, you know, save the whales or you know, keep forests or keeping my area clean. I'm just a quiet, ordinary, boring person. I've never stepped out. So the fact that I've got this work history was widely respected in my industry, trusted by venture finance investors. They have all shunned me now. They literally have all shunned me. But I really don't care what they think, because something horrible is happening. And as you said, have we ever seen a situation in the past where a medical deceit has gone so far as to result in my country alone, I would say, in several scores of thousands of dead people that could easily have been saved? This is a really important point, because later on, I'm going to show you that the evidence points to something really rather ghastly in terms of the most likely future if we don't stop this. And it's consistent with officials, scientists, conspiring together to mislead people in such a way as to cost large number of lives. And I've shown already that they've done the leading edge of that by depriving people of treatments and lying about the efficacy of those treatments.
Well, we so appreciate, Dr. Mike, your willingness to speak out. Are there more lies that you want to address that have been going on?
Yeah, just really quickly, they're very important. I won't take too much time on the PCR test because it's probably been done to death, but polymerase chain reaction test, it's a bit like the DNA tests that are done for forensic purposes, and they've got to be done really carefully. And yet in my country, at least, we were testing, I think, several hundred thousand tests a day using unskilled people, sometimes working on open benches. The level of cross-contamination in these amplifying tests called PCR tests are such that I would not trust any of the results. And I have a good friend who's one of the most skilled practitioners of PCR himself personally, who worked temporarily in one of these COVID testing labs. And he confirmed to me personally that, frankly, Mike, it's a mess. So the PCR test is being misused to, I think, frighten the population by almost dial up as many cases as the those promoting fear want. It's not a good test and it's being misused. But here's the last few lies. One is that you can make other people ill. You can transmit this virus even though you have no symptoms yourself. That's just completely wrong. That flies in the face of decades, maybe centuries of knowledge. I know it's wrong because it's been tested. So there are papers out there that show that so-called asymptomatic transmission doesn't occur. Anthony Fauci said it didn't occur before he changed his mind and started lying. And the WHO representative said the same before they changed their mind. But the reason it can't happen is really simple. In order to be a good source of infection, you have to have a lot of virus in your airways yourself. But if you have a lot of viruses in your airways yourself, you will have symptoms. That's because the virus is attacking the lining of your lungs, and you notice that, and your immune system is fighting back, and you notice that. It's not possible to have lots of virus in your airway and thus be a good source of infection and not to have symptoms. So this absurd idea that without symptoms you can represent a respiratory health threat to other people in terms of viruses is completely nuts. And they've literally made it up. The science doesn't support it, and statements by officials originally in 2020 doesn't support it, but they've lied. And the reason I emphasize that is this idea, this wicked idea that's wrong, underscores the need for masks, the idea that anyone could have it, so we better mask you all up. By the way, masks have been tested. They do not reduce transmission of respiratory viruses. They've absolutely been tested. Do not do it. But nevertheless, the idea that you could transmit without symptoms is the reason why you're covered in masks. Yeah, yeah. It's also, and this one's absolutely critical, it's the reason why lockdowns, business closures, and stay-at-home orders were put in place, because if we don't know who's got it and anyone could be spreading it, the idea was, well, look, all go home, close your businesses, stay at home and wait for the vaccine. Wait a minute, we've already got good treatments. And secondly, they're lying, asymptomatic transmission. The way it worked, it's been tested. The way it worked, lockdowns, which have been crippled our economies, smashed civil societies, caused depression. I think a lot of people have died, frankly, as a result of lockdown. Mm-hmm. Lockdowns did not slow transmission. And the reason it didn't do it is, in order to be a good transmitter, you need to have lots of virus and you'll be symptomatic.
They weren't out in the public anyway. Yeah. Well, our guest right now, and we're going to finish the last part, and then we have so much more to cover in the subsequent programs here at Faith and Freedom, is Dr. Mike Yeadon. For more information, you can go to lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. Lots of information on COVID, the shots, the vaccine passport issues that we're addressing, and Dr. Mike Yeadon as well.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. The website again, lc.org.
What are some of the lies that have been propagated by some of these public health officials with regards to COVID? Well, we're going to be addressing some of that on Faith and Freedom with our very special guest, Dr. Mike Yeadon, former chief scientist and vice president of respiratory research and development at Pfizer, and also someone who created his own startup company, someone who is very well versed in this specific issue of pharmacology and respiratory conditions and diseases. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Welcome back to Faith in Freedom, Dr. Yeadon.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Let's pick up where you left off yesterday, and that is you were going through several of these points that were propagated worldwide, and you rebutted them. Give us those that you mentioned, and then let's go to the one that you didn't get a chance to address yesterday.
Sure, yes. So all around the world, all governments at the same time dropped their pandemic preparedness plans, but instead adopted this 7 or 8 lies. They said the virus was much more lethal than it is, that there's no immunity in the population, that there are no treatments, that you can transmit the virus to others without symptoms, that masks stop transmission, which they definitely don't. And I just spent a little time talking about how lockdown, devastating lockdown, had no value whatever. It didn't protect anyone's life, didn't prevent transmission. And then the last thing I was going to mention was this idea that this virus mutates and does so quickly, creating what are called variants, and that we should be very frightened of these for two reasons. One, they could have different disease-causing properties, and more important, that they could evade your immunity, that if you've acquired immunity through surviving infection or through vaccination, these variants will represent different pathogens, and you'll need top-up jabs for that. That's a complete lie, and it's worth me just explaining a little bit about that, because I think if I get this message through successfully, it's possible I could save a billion lives. When it mutates, creates, as it were, different versions of itself, and even if you're immune, they give us the understanding that these variants will be sufficiently different that your body won't recognize them, and therefore you can be made ill afresh. That is not true. Let me just explain. The body takes a whole series of high-resolution pictures, as it were, when it forms immune memory. It dismantles the invader, the virus in this case, cuts it into pieces, takes lots of memory pictures. And that means if the virus, the variant is only ever so slightly different, almost all of the pictures you took are still good, and you will recognize it. It's like a burglar. Say you've seen a burglar in the back garden, and he's been in your house. The next time, a few months later, it's the same guy, and all he's done is he's got sun specs on. The same, he's wearing the same clothes, same boots, same gloves, same hat. The idea that you would not recognize this person is as absurd as the idea that you won't recognize variants. They are all proven to be so similar to the original virus, there is literally no possibility whatsoever that you will not fully conquer any variant. You'll know it as something you've already beaten. And so there is no case whatsoever for the pharmaceutical industry to be manufacturing, which they are, booster shots against these different variants. I'm terrified of that because I know that what's in those glass vials cannot possibly be a vaccine. So the next question is, what is in those bottles? I don't know, but I suspect when we add up all this fraud and conspiracy that, you know, one, I am led to the conclusion that there are very bad motives behind the people that are A, doing this, and B, manufacturing these top-up vaccines. So that probably is the series of lies. There's only one other lie, really, which I'm scared we're all going to fall for this. Vaccine passports. Have you ever been asked to prove your immune status? No, you haven't. But it's going around the world now. We're all being told, well, we'll need these vaccine passports and electronic proof that you've been vaccinated. I need to point out to people, a vaccine protects the person who receives it, not anybody else. So if you're vulnerable and you've been vaccinated and if things have gone well for you, you are protected. You do not need to know the immune status of a man, woman, or child nearby at all. And so it's literally absurd that people like Tony Blair and Bill Gates are proposing we'll all have to be jabbed and then we'll need these vaccine passports. I believe, and what we should talk about this if we've got, well, we must talk about this. I think the vaccine passports are a world's first common format digital ID with an editable health flag, which will be your status of how up to date you are with vaccines. And I think that's going to be used to govern every regulated threshold, not just an international border, even the use of your MasterCard or Visa. You're asked to sweep your little QR code, otherwise no deal, either crossing a threshold or a transaction. That would coerce everyone who has perhaps wisely chosen not to be vaccinated. They'd have to be. If that system is introduced, it's complete control for whoever owns the database and the algorithm. Yeah. So even if you think everything I've told you is wrong, please fight to make sure that database system never comes into being.
Dr. Yeadon, we have been messaging and pushing back on the vaccine passports here in the United States quite vigorously. And Florida became the first state in the country to pass first an executive order and then a statute saying no vaccine passports. And so we're trying to build these firewalls of freedom, if you will, at least at the state level, to disrupt this national effort, actually global effort. But you're exactly right. I mean, vaccine passports or the concept of these health digital passports, they predated COVID. COVID's being used to accelerate that. And it's a very, very dangerous component. And what I've said is exactly what you just said. No matter what your position is on these shots, whether you've gotten them, whether you haven't gotten them, whether you're for them, whether you're against them, we should all be against these so-called vaccine passports or health digital passports, because it will be the end of freedom.
It's really, they're really about control. Wouldn't you say, Dr. Yeadon, it's really about control?
Yes, it absolutely is. In fact, I came to the conclusion in the end that I believe the entire sort of artificially amplified fear pandemic, because it's most, I do believe the virus exists, but I think all of the lies have amplified people's anxiety and has dismembered society and damaged the economy. And I think that's primed people to be willing to accept a vaccine. And I think the purpose of that is to herd us all onto this digital ID, this vaccine passport system. I think that's the only thing that makes sense. That literally does make sense. But normally where it comes to vaccines, you know, my history, you must believe me, I've worked in the industry, belly of the beast, as they say, for over 32 years. I am pro innovative new medicines, as long as they're safe and properly prescribed. I don't care whether they're vaccines, biologics, small, you know, molecules, so-called tablets or inhalers, as long as they work and they're safe and they're appropriately prescribed, I'm the person has spent my entire career trying to do this for the industry. So no one can, if anyone points a finger at me and says I'm anti-vax, they're lying. I'm pro-vax. I'm anti-unsafe medicines is what I am. But here's the thing. I just need to point this out. If the scientific advisors to government all around the world had not lied about treatments and said there aren't any treatments, but had instead accelerated what's called alternative indications, existing molecules that have found a new use. That's very common. Almost 50% of the drugs in the pharmacopoeia are actually used in different indications than they started with. So all they needed to do is say, that's great, look, ivermectin works, fluvoxamine, hydroxychloroquine, let's get an emergency use authorization for those. But they didn't. They smashed it, they suppressed it, including through medical journals, actually made medical journals tell lies. They would suppress people like me if I tried to talk about it. And the reason they did that is you can't get an emergency use authorization on the vaccines if there are safe enough to throw people under the bus Knowing that's what would happen, whoever signed those orders knew that hundreds of thousands of people would die, and the purpose of the sacrifice was to allow these partly tested gene-based vaccines.
We'll have to pick it up on our next program. Our guest is Dr. Mike Yeadon, and I want to pick up where we left off on our next Faith and Freedom program. Go to lc.org/vaccine. You're going to find a lot of information there about the COVID shots, including these interviews here with Dr. Mike Yeadon.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. The website again, lc.org.
Why are the lies, and what is the vaccine passport? Is it a serious threat to your freedom? We're going to be talking about that and much more on Faith and Freedom with our very special guest, Dr. Mike Yeadon, the former vice president and chief scientist for Pfizer for research and development, and also with 32 years of experience in the big pharma industry. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Welcome back, Dr. Yeadon. I want to pick up where we left off in our last program, and that is the vaccine passports. The question is, you went through a number of 7 or 8 or so lies that are just incompatible with the science that you have dedicated your life to with regards to these viruses and transmissible diseases and existing medications and other ways to treat, completely contrary to pandemic preparedness. And then you said the only reason why you think that that is so, why these lies were done, is to get to the point of vaccine passports. Because if you had treatment, if you gave proper information, there would not be an emergency, there wouldn't be shutdowns, there wouldn't be a vaccine, and now there wouldn't be this push for vaccine passports. Let's pick up there and let's move through some other issues that we want to address.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for having me back again. Yes, I'm very concerned about vaccine passports. They do not aid safety of individuals or the community. You can listen to the previous episode, so I don't want to use up time now. They are just an absurdity. I beg people to think what is going on and do whatever you can to oppose this, because it is not for your benefit, and it is definitely for the benefit of whoever owns the database and the algorithms. That's the thing. But coming to the vaccines themselves, because I've put a significant amount of work in with other physicians here in Europe. So these vaccines, they're novel. They are gene-based vaccines. They encode a piece of the virus, spike protein. And for the first time ever in human history, these vaccines make your cells manufacture the foreign invading infectious agent. We've never done this before. Now, they have been approved under emergency conditions on the grounds that there is an emergency, and there are no alternative treatments. I think both of those things are lies, by the way, but they have been approved. But I need to tell you three things. These vaccines are not even necessary. I'm a pro-vax person. I'm from the industry for decades, but these are not necessary. Few people are susceptible to this virus because there's a lot of immunity, cross-immunity, prior immunity in the population, and only very old and ill people become seriously ill anyway. So they're not necessary. That's the first thing. Second, it's not even clear if they are effective. The clinical trials were a very odd design. They didn't study whether they reduce hospitalization or death, which seems crazy. Isn't that what you want protection from, the risk of death? They didn't study it. They didn't also study whether it reduces transmission, that is passing the virus to someone else. So we don't really know if they work. They might, but I would say we don't know, but they're definitely, definitely insufficiently safety tested. And remember, my first degree included toxicology. So I'm not just guessing. I can look at the package and find in the regulatory package in front of the FDA and others, there's huge tracts of the work just absolutely missing, like reproductive toxicology, distribution studies, what's called pharmacodynamics, all the stuff is missing. And the trials were done in, I would say, young elderly, healthy young elderly people, people like me, I'm 61 and healthy, but the people who got the jab straight away tended to be our oldest and most frail citizens. And then they've migrated rapidly down the age group, and they've waded way past the age where pretty much anyone got very sick and died. In my country, we're now down to people in their 20s. They have vaccinated tens of thousands of pregnant women, even though the reproductive toxicology packages have not been done. We've never done this in the history of the pharmaceutical industry, and nor should we. It's completely inappropriate. And then right now in my country, I think we're defending our children, including our minor children. I got to the point, I'm not a religious person, but I've got to the point where I think this is not just criminal and bad, it's evil. It's actually evil. You cannot look at this stuff and think this is normal fraud or financial shenanigans here. This is evil. They're coming after your children.
Dr. Eden, regarding the children and regarding pregnancies, do you have a concern? Well, in the United States, for example, in the CDC VAERS report, we now have 600-plus miscarriages reported, and Harvard and CDC says that historically represents less than 1% of actual. So we're seeing a lot of those, and these are late-term miscarriages. What are you seeing with regards to reproduction? Does it cause sterility? What are you seeing in terms of the toxicology and how it would work on female hormones and reproductive organs?
Certainly, absolutely. So in December last year, with Dr. Vodog of Germany, I wrote a petition to the European Medicines Agency. We had a number of concerns in there, one of which was the possibility that the spike protein was just similar enough to an important hormone or protein critically involved in pregnancy called syncytin 1 and syncytin 2. And people laughed at me, they abused me on social media, but I stuck my mind guns and I said, I'm not saying the risk probability is high, but the impact, if I'm right, is huge. 2 weeks ago, a paper came out studying the Pfizer vaccine in humans. These were human females, they're not animals. They do indeed, I'm afraid, raise antibodies to human syncytin 1. There's no question about it. Now, will this cause an abortion? Will it stop people getting pregnant? I don't know. But don't you think, won't the listeners now think, you know, we should have listened to this Eden guy? Because I could see the similarity. And I'm not that surprised. Humans have circulating antibodies to syncytin 1 within 4 days of the first vaccination. So that's one thing I will tell you. Another person called Professor Bridle, I think, in North America, under Freedom of Information request, has obtained from the Japanese regulatory authorities a study of the Pfizer vaccine in rodents, a distribution study. When it's injected into the rodents, he had asked, do you understand where this stuff goes? And they had done a study and he recovered it from the Japanese regulators in Japanese. We've had it translated. It's obvious when you look at it that these vaccines concentrate in two places in the rat's tissue, the spleen and the ovaries, unbelievably high levels. Now, I can't be certain, but I would say the suspicion, strong presupposition is that spike proteins are going to be expressed in ovaries. And if you've no other data to the contrary, we should assume that rat is a warning for humans. So I think it's going to be expressed in ovaries. God knows what that will do. And I was right previously that the women do raise an antibody response to their own critical structural protein of pregnancy required for formation and maintenance of the placenta called syncytin. And so, you have joined the dots yourself. We should stop vaccinating women of childbearing potential and certainly pregnant women today. I'm almost in tears over this information.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Mike Eden is our very special guest, 32 years in pharmacology with a degree in biochemistry and toxicology, a PhD in respiratory pharmacology, 32 years in this industry. Thank you for being our guest. We're going to continue our program with Faith and Freedom and Dr. Eden tomorrow, and we're going to pick up where we left off today. But we are seeing in the United States exactly, Dr. Eden, what you're seeing. Like I said, the CDC VAERS log, it's very antiquated. I don't know why the CDC doesn't update its program. It's hard to enter information. No wonder why many of the healthcare providers don't even know it's existing. That's why less than 1% are actually logged. But of those less than 1%, you're seeing a high increase in miscarriages. And these are late term miscarriages. These are not early, first couple of weeks, 1 month. These are second and even going into the third trimester miscarriages. It's stunning. It's shocking what's happening here in the United States. I encourage you to go to lc.org/vaccine because we must, number one, be educated. But number two, we must stop this insidious push for so-called vaccine passports. We need to have these firewalls of protection all over the country. We really need them worldwide. Because if this actually becomes the normal, then your freedom is literally gone. And it's bigger than COVID. It's predated COVID. It'll be around long after COVID, and our freedom will suffer. And additionally, our health will also suffer by being forced to take experimental drugs such as these COVID shots. lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. The website again, lc.org.
Is this a depopulation mechanism, the COVID shots, number one? And number two, what do you do if you've already had one of these shots? We're going to be addressing both of those issues today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our very special guest is Dr. Mike Yeadon, a PhD in respiratory pharmacology, former chief scientist and vice president for respiratory research and development at Pfizer, with 32 years of experience in this specific industry. So let's address the very first question, Dr. Yeadon, and that is, is this a depopulation result or mechanism in the pharmacology, in the toxicology components of these particular COVID shots?
Yes. I must say I started with the belief that the so-called first generation vaccines would not do that. I mean, it's although there have been an absurd number, a tragic number of deaths after vaccination, it wouldn't be enough to achieve depopulation. But I am now very worried that there could be effects on reproduction. So I wouldn't want to rule it out. But here's what I think. I think the all of the lies, the exaggeration, exaggerated fear, the deprivation of medical treatments and the vaccines, I think it is driving us onto vaccine passports. I think the purpose of that is simply a digital ID on the basis of which complete control over us will be had. And what I worry about is that there's such repeated talk about variants, and the need for a top up. I am dead fearful that if vaccine passports are in place first, and then these top up jabs, honestly, biotechnology is sufficiently sophisticated that it would be possible to design a gene sequence that will kill you, say, in 3 months or 6 months, roughly, of kidney failure or of a heart attack easily. And it will be what I would call plausible deniability. There'll be no connection between you having a top-up jab and dying. And if you imagine that all the media needs to do is put about that there's a virus that causes kidney failure. Say they tell you that. And then people are requested by their vaccine passport. It says, turn up for your jab in the next 2 weeks. If you don't, your passport will become invalid and you will no longer be able to access your own life. Then people will just go and get it. And if after 3 months or 6 months, you're dying in large numbers of kidney failure, we'll think, oh, well, it's that virus that causes kidney failure. So I don't know. It's not my crime, as I say to people. But if I wanted to depopulate people without causing excessive alarm and without the finger pointing at me, plausible deniability, this is exactly the way I do it. And I can't think of any flaws with their problem, with their plan. So I will just say to you, if you've not been vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. It's not necessary. There are good treatments. You should holler until your physician gives them to you if you need them. And unless you're old and ill, you're not at great risk from the virus. If you've had COVID, do not get vaccinated. You'll probably have a worse immune reaction if you do. If you're pregnant or thinking of getting pregnant, do not get vaccinated. And do not allow your children to be vaccinated either. And for goodness sake, I will throw myself, you know, in front of the bus to stop vaccine passports coming in, because we don't need any of these precautions. This is the crazy thing. I tell people this. I beg of them. I've said, look around your world. The hospitals are not full of people with virus. They're full of people injured by vaccines. And they're not even that many. The hospitals are not very full. you can take your old life back. It's right at the fingertips, at arm's length. I can almost touch it. Stop listening to the lies from your government and the scientific advisors. Stop listening to corrupt big tech. They censor people like me. They deplatform honest scientists like me. I've never said anything public about anything until now. Why would you think, instead of having a comfortable life, why am I exhausting myself and defriending myself? It's because I can see wrong things going on. There's no motive for me to do this other than honest communication. You can take your lives back now, and you should do so. Discard your masks, stop social distancing, open your businesses, your schools, see your representatives, show them this information. They can write to me or call me. I will back you up. We must take back our freedoms. Stop being so nice and polite. When you see a lie, call it a lie.
Let me turn right now, because that brings us to toward the conclusion of this program. And I want to ask you one question, but it covers both. What do you do to try to protect yourself against COVID? That's number one. And what do you do if you've already had the shot to protect yourself against the adverse reactions from the shot?
Yeah, personally, I'm 61 and in good health. I don't do anything to protect myself against COVID. It's no big deal. It's less of a threat to me than influenza. So that's the answer. Unless you're very vulnerable, just forget about it. Forget about it. And in terms of if you already have the shots, most people who have bad reactions do have them in the first few days. So if you've been lucky and you haven't had severe problems, perhaps you're okay. If you're in the middle zone or you have got some symptoms, I would recommend trying the drugs that have been found to be useful against COVID-19 itself. That's probably as good as we can do.
And those drugs would be hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. You mentioned a third one as well.
Budesonide is another one, and also fluvoxamine.
And azithromycin, which is your Z-Pack.
That's right. It's an off-patent antibiotic, but it has anti-inflammatory effects as well. But the reason I'm coming on these shows is not really to do an education about the science and vaccines and lies and so on, but it is to tell you, if you felt this has been really weird this last 18 months, if you've got this feeling in your gut, something's not right, listen to your gut. You're absolutely right. I'm not a religious person, but I believe we're standing at the gates of hell. And if we allow the people to push these vaccines through the community, right through groups who should not be vaccinated, let alone with an experimental treatment, and then they give you a little QR code, it's the end of human freedom. And it could easily be the end of life as we know it on this earth. I am worried that's a possibility, but the very least, the very best I can offer you is totalitarian control at the hands of big tech operating electronic vaccine passport. That's the best you can get if you don't stop them.
I have a good friend in Israel, and he visited here in the United States, and he has a QR code on his cell phone, which is his Israel vaccine passport. They call it the Green Passport. And he also has a tracking and tracing app that tracks every movement that he has, including all those people that he comes in contact with. So that's Israel. That's Israel. And so this is not China. This is Israel. So that's the kind of thing you're talking about that literally is the end of freedom. It's the same thing that Naomi Wolf here in the United States has been warning about as well.
You know, we appreciate you speaking truth, Dr. Mike, and I know you've experienced censorship already for doing that, but you know, you can speak to others to stand up and to be willing to speak the truth just like you are, and you know all these facts about the pharmaceutical companies and all that.
Polly, you're right. Actually, if I could just take 30 seconds. I've worked with a lot of people over the last 32, 33 years, and I've got one thing to say to you. Where are you? All the people, PhDs, good graduates, business people, listen to what I've said. If you can't rebut what I've said, you must accept what I've said. You need to show some courage for your families, for your communities. You need to stand up. It's no good just leaving it to one exhausted guy here in Kent. I've been doing a year. I don't care what happens to me, but I know I'm right. We're being deceived and something awful is happening. So anyone who's ever known me, you know I'm a straightforward, honest person. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I've spotted a conspiracy. There's nothing theoretical about it. stand up and help.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mike Eden, and thank you for standing. You have put everything on the line, 32 years in this area. You didn't need this. You're in retirement. You sold a very successful company, former chief scientist and VP for respiratory R&D at Pfizer, had a very good relationship with Pfizer, is very pro-vaccine, very pro-safe drugs, whether it's a vaccine or anything, but very much concerned, rightly so, regarding these COVID shots. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for tirelessly getting out this word, because I think your message can save a lot of people now and certainly into the future. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/vaccine. I want you to do several things. Sign the petition, the facts. We're working with many state governors and legislators to stop these vaccine passports. They need to be stopped around the country. They need to be stopped around the world. They are the end of freedom. And there's much more there at lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776.